Welcome to this lovely Friday. If you're listening to us when this goes out, it's a Monday, but for us, it's Friday.
Sunny Friday.
Ice is melting. And Joe is feeling spicy today.
I wish my mood would melt a little. My mood is the opposite of what it looks like outside right now.
Well, that happens with traffic. You mentioned a few issues with cars.
It happens with traffic.
Well, yeah, traffic, cars, that sort of thing. You mentioned this morning some frustration with people's parking and people being in the middle of the road.
Yeah, but those people, that was just what made me realize how crappy I was. Mm. And that I was like just already mad at everyone before anyone did anything. So
It's good that you knew that, though. A lot of people don't realize that they're in that sort of mood.
Yeah. But now we have to record a podcast. I'm trying to get it under control. Sometimes we still do have to have conversations with people, even when we're crabby, because it's the last day to record a podcast before it comes out. So it has to happen.
Let me tell you, ice days, snow days, they put a good hitch in everyone's routine.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, I know you love it, but like that's part of the reason why we're recording on Friday.
Oh, right. That's why we're recording on today instead of our typical Wednesday.
Yeah.
Currently we record on Wednesday.
Yeah.
You know, I hate the phrase fake it till you make it. And so I feel like it's important that I combat that phrase by trying to always show up authentically.
Yeah.
And the truth is today I feel quite combative. Yeah. And argumentative and crabby. So I'm not going to fake it that I'm happy, but I will still recognize your humanity and
thank you.
And like acknowledge that my desire is to be kind. Okay. So I can both things can be true,
mm-hmm.
that I want to be mean, but also my deeper desire is to be kind.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see which one wins.
All right, let's do it.
This is Be Createful, a podcast about finding fullness through creativity. I'm Joe.
And I'm Madison. And today on episode 105, we're talking about creativity and nostalgia. Now, Joe.
What?
You're the one that kind of inspired this podcast.
So not the idea of nostalgia at all. This is what brought it up. This is why we landed here.
There you go.
I love a snow day. And I have loved it from the first time that I knew snow days were a thing, which probably was kindergarten or first grade. And the way it doesn't apply to nostalgia is I don't have like a longing. It doesn't bring up nostalgic feelings. Mm-hmm. Like I love them in the present too. So,
which is what I was trying to get to. I was like, well, why do you like a snow day? Is it because you have those? Because you talked about having feelings of joy when you were a kid, when you had a snow day and you still feel that way. So I thought, is it nostalgia? And you mentioned that no, it's not. But then we started to talk a little bit more about nostalgia.
Yeah. Here's why I love a snow day. And I think that it has developed as I've gotten older, like the reasons have changed. This is what disconnects it from nostalgia for me. I think the only way it applies is that it's something from my past that I like. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I love a snow day because everything shuts down and the world gets quiet and it is like permission to not be productive. It's permission to not accomplish something. And I spend all of my time like thinking I'm not working enough. Did I get everything done on my to-do list? And a snow day like makes it to where sometimes you can't even leave your house. So it doesn't matter what's on your to-do list. That's why I love a snow day.
Okay. I understand why you would say that. However, how I see you perform a snow day, I don't feel like matches up with that.
It's because it gives me energy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the permission to not be productive. It gives me energy to do whatever I want.
Mm-hmm.
And typically, what I want is to be productive.
Yes, and to do more work. So I don't want people to be led on to say that you are not productive on a snow day.
Also, that was like, if when are you thinking of us being productive? Yesterday?
Yesterday was productive.
Yes, but that was our third snow day, and it really was.
No, but you work from home all the time, and you get quite a bit done at home.
But the first snow day, I read a whole book.
I didn't know that. See, I didn't know that.
Like, and I mean, I guess, okay, reading a book is productive, but
no, but it was
like leisure.
That's not work. Right. That is fun. Okay. That makes me feel better because from my perspective, when I see you on a snow day or you talk about things that you're doing on a snow day, it's usually not reading a book or watching TV or anything like that. It's usually you're talking about doing work.
Productivity is always tricky for me mm-hmm. because work is my hobby.
Yes. It like, is one of your hobbies.
Yes. And work, particularly like work around make do, is what I love.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just that a snow day lets me decide what work I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's it. But also like I don't have to do any work at all.
Is it kind of the same reason why you like... Well, you feel creative at night, like the world is kind of shut down. Yeah, there's not really probably. Any places to
yeah.
be.
Yeah, like no one's going to send me an email that's going to distract me from what it is I want to do
yeah.
at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm. So you can just be as creative as you want then.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so in the course of talking about that, we started discussing nostalgia.
Yeah.
And I think this is a really interesting topic because... I think it's very topical right now because for me and I think for social media because there are a lot of like Gen Z are really getting into the nostalgia of the 90s. Like scrunchies have been back for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I think to the point that they're not cool anymore. However, like the early 2000s low-rise jeans and tiny purses and like all of that is coming back and there's this kind of nostalgia for that time.
So are you saying that trends coming back? Well, maybe let me ask it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see the way that Gen Z is looking at the 90s or the early aughts as different than how my generation would have looked back at the 70s?
I think this is a difference between societal nostalgia and personal nostalgia, because I think both exist. Where as a grouping of people or as a mass of people in pop culture, that we can have nostalgia for things, which is why Gen Z can kind of feel this sort of pseudo nostalgia for the 90s, even though they didn't exist.
Well, I know I didn't exist in the 70s, yes. But we still had like our fashion was bringing up trends from that mm-hmm. era. I guess what I'm asking is trends repeating and being like obsessed with the trends that were popular then, is that the same thing as nostalgia?
Well, so what I'm trying to convey is it's not just like, oh, I'm just really into low-rise jeans right now. I'm talking about Gen Z bringing up a whole atmosphere of like longing for living in the 90s because they bring up not only just clothing, but movies and other elements of like, oh man, I really wish I had, you know, Dunkaroos when, you know, in my Lunchable, whatever. They are pining for aspects of the 90s. It's not just clothing. It's a whole feel or aesthetic or vibe, if you will.
I don't know if this is connected, but technology is changing so fast
mm-hmm.
that they don't have access to the things that were around in the 90s in the same way that I did have access to the things that were around when my parents were young. Like, I knew what an 8-track was.
Mm-hmm.
I had both a cassette player and a DVD player and an MP3, but they don't know what the dial-up tone is, or they don't know how to use a rotary phone.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe that is part of the difference on what makes it different than how I would have, I don't know. Maybe that is what is making it feel like it is more nostalgia than just like trends repeating. And mm-hmm. when I talk about trends, I don't mean just clothing trends either.
Yeah.
So maybe that is it. I'm not very connected with Gen Z, so I didn't know that this was happening.
If you want, like, if you're, I guess because I'm more in touch with the, like, more, like, fashion aspects of TikTok and YouTube and things, I get a lot more of younger influencers who are kind of perpetrating these desires for a time past. I'm also really into historical fashion and vintage fashion, which also carries a lot of nostalgia, like pseudo nostalgia that, like a time to return when, oh, remember when women wore like big dresses? Wasn't that cool? Or there's a famous, like, not famous, there's a viral sound on TikTok where it's like, when did someone say this is not allowed to be cool anymore? When did this stop becoming cool? And people use that for, you know, fashion, for other things where they're like, wow, that was really awesome. Why did we ever let that pass out of pop culture? And so that's kind of why I think nostalgia is very topical, because it is kind of like nebulous. It's a little nebulous to hold on to, because we have this societal nostalgia and then you have your own personal nostalgia. Like, there's things that's specific to you that you can be nostalgic for. But let's back it up a little bit. Yeah. I think we're getting in the weeds. So I wrote down a definition of nostalgia just so we can...
I did too. Let's see if we agree.
Okay. I've been talking for a hot second. Why don't you go ahead?
Okay. So the definition I found was that nostalgia is a sentimental longing or wistful affection for the past, typically for a period or place with happy personal associations. So the second part of that definition is talking about the personal nostalgia. And the first part, and maybe this is where I'm having trouble with connecting it to like the what you're talking about, is that like wanting to wear butterfly clips and low-rise jeans and eat Dunkaroos, is that really a sentimental longing for the past? Or is it just, hey, this happened in the 90s, but it's new to me now. How cool. Do you see what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying. However, let me put it to you this way. When, especially with any sort of like aesthetic fashion, you are communicating with someone. It's not just, oh, this is cool and novel. It's, I'm trying to project. I mean, sometimes it could be, but I'm trying to project or communicate something to you. So when I wear donut socks, you could probably guess from me that I am probably someone who's a little whimsical, maybe enjoys, probably enjoys donuts, and doesn't necessarily feel constricted by like typical fashion. In the same way, I think that when people put on trends from the past, they are trying to invoke pieces of the past. Hmm. Now, some people may not think about it to that depth. However, the people who are creating these trends, who are saying, oh, let's bring this back, I believe that's where they're getting it from. Because they have to get it from somewhere. Someone has to be the designer who says, we've been wearing skinny jeans for a while. Let's put some flares in there, like back when I was a kid. Or, you know, I'm really inspired by these older photographs. I want to invoke this feeling of like 70s glam rock. So now everyone's wearing wide leg pants. I think there's, at risk of making everything into a deeper meaning, I think there is more meaning than just, I think butterfly clips are cool, that you've just decided that. I think there's something a little deeper going on there.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I do understand that there is a difference between like pop culture as a whole being like, oh, we're going to look back at, you know, this particular time and, like want to revisit it. Like specifically, I think in the 70s when Grease was made, they were feeling a little nostalgic for the 50s,
mm-hmm.
hence why Grease was made in the 70s. Like there is some, like there's the big cultural aspect of it, but there is also a personal aspect of it as well to nostalgia. Like there's the personal nostalgia and the societal nostalgia. So maybe you're not nostalgic for butterfly clips, but
well, there's a certain memory. I just... We know that trends cycle in and out.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I remember when I was younger wearing things that my mom was like, I had those things, mm-hmm. you know, everything comes back in style. So part of it, I think, is just the nature of the cyclical nature of trends in fashion, in home decor, in what topics are authors writing about. I mean, for a while, it was all magic. It was all vampires. It was all true crime. Like those types of
those things
that are current in yes. pop culture are cyclical and are influenced by the past.
They are influenced by the past, and they're also influenced by the culture, like what the culture needs at that moment. And they always represent things like vampires. The reason why they were so big and in, or due in part to the reason why they were so in, was because they are seen as these like grandiose, aristocratic, rich people who are sucking the life out of like plebeians. And so it was a good allegory for like what was going on at the economy during that time, versus like when zombies were really big, we were concerned about the effects of television on the masses, what happens when humanity gets reduced down to its base instincts. So yes, there is like some surfacey things going on there for why trends are cyclical, but I think the reason that they become so trendy is there's a deeper meaning there. And I feel like one of those deeper meanings is the pull of nostalgia, among other things.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyways. So. Yeah. So to break down the word further.
Okay.
The Greek, it comes from the Greek, two Greek words. Pardon my Greek here. Nostos, which means return, and algos, which means pain. It's the suffering that you feel in a desire to return to a place of origin. So like this is at the core of what nostalgia is, returning to something, returning to a place where you began. And typically that has good feelings. So going back to the first definition, a place with happy associations. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're talking about when we talk about nostalgia.
I think nostalgia is definitely bittersweet, and it gets that, the second part of that definition of pain mm-hmm. is the bitter part of it, because it's a realization that that time is past.
Mm-hmm.
But then the sweet part is like the
remembering of yeah. the happy memories. Like when you pull something out of a box, you're like, oh, I forgot mm-hmm. about this. And you kind of have that mm-hmm. that joy, but also that tug of like, I'm no longer a kid anymore. This toy doesn't hold the same meaning it did for me then, but it still holds meaning now because it did back then. Mm-hmm.
See, I'm not very sentimental.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's why nostalgia, I don't know the connection between being sentimental and being nostalgic. I am like, if something's been in a box in my parents' garage, even if it's from my childhood and it, at one time I loved it, you can throw it away. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need to look through it again. I would throw everything away. And so that kind of gets rid of the opportunities for nostalgia, I guess, that are connected to specific things.
Well, like the Christmas decorations we pulled up uh-huh. yesterday. Did you like feel Joe had some decorations from when she was young here at Make Do? Uh-huh. We were shifting things around, and I was like, "Hey, like I thought they were Make Do's," and I was like, "Hey, do you want me to get rid of these? Because I thought I've never seen them uh-huh. before. We don't need these." And you're like, "No, they were from when I was a kid." What were some?
Yeah. Did you have so it's some just because my house is old. Mm-hmm. I love like a mid-century vibe in my house. And so what it was like a star and then some like old lights.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, it's not so much of like, I want those particular ones because that's what was on my tree. And that mm-hmm. it's that, well, I like old thing, like using old things instead of always buying new.
Mm-hmm.
And these are available to me. So I'm
also
might
very
use
aesthetic,
them.
Right? Like right. they fit the aesthetic that you're right. trying to go for.
And if they didn't fit the aesthetic, I wouldn't want them. Mm-hmm. So it isn't about the fact that it's the star that was on top of every Christmas I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
It's that, hey, that's a cool star.
So what do you feel nostalgia for?
Okay, here's a good example. We recently, Madison and a few of our friends are in a rom-com club where we watch a movie and drink
I mean, eat soup.
I guess you can also drink soup if you need to.
We watch a rom-com and drink soup.
Yeah.
And so the first one that we watched was While You Were Sleeping. And that is a movie that I watched exclusively at my grandma's house. So the whole time that we were watching that movie, and it's been decades since I've seen it, but scenes in it, as they were unfolding, I was like feeling nostalgia for watching that movie at my grandma's house. So I think a lot of why I would have said before, oh my gosh, I love that movie, is very little to do with the movie and mostly to do with the environment in which I watched it, which mm-hmm. was at my grandma's house. So that is an example of nostalgia to me, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah. So that movie itself, the experience of watching the movie is nostalgic mm-hmm. for you. Excellent. Well, cool. Yeah, I'm trying to think about, now that I asked you that question, if I'm like trying to figure out some things that I have nostalgia for. I have nostalgia for Slurpees from 7-Eleven, which we don't have one around here. Mm-hmm. It makes me real sad. When I was young, sometimes when I would run errands with my dad, we would go and get a Slurpee together yeah. in the truck. So it's those feelings of, you know, returning to childhood, being at, you know, living at home with my parents, hanging out with my dad, or like, this is a really weird one. I feel nostalgia when I'm cutting up mozzarella cheese because my mom would cut up mozzarella cheese to make homemade pizza. And when I was young, I was just tall enough to like reach up on the counter uh-huh. and sneak one. And so I think about that every time I have mozzarella, yeah. like when I cut it up and like eat a little piece.
Yeah.
It's just those little moments of joy that remind me of my childhood.
Yes.
So definitely nostalgia.
Well, like when we were at Christy's house and she pulled that Clearly Canadian out of her
yeah
refrigerator.
And y'all had a reaction.
And yes, to me, that is nostalgia. Mm-hmm. I'm having a tougher time with the collective nostalgia of Gen Z.
Well, and I think our culture as a whole can have a tendency to want to get into nostalgia. Perhaps like a particular presidential motto that.
Well, that's what. That is what I think of when I think of a historical or like collective nostalgia and the dangers of it.
Yeah.
So, any time that we're talking about the past being great and wanting to make now be great again, like mm-hmm. the past was. You are great for who? Because it wasn't great for everyone. You're looking at the past through rose-colored glasses. Billy Joel has a song called Keeping the Faith. And in it, he has a line that says, the good old days weren't always good, and tomorrow's not as bad as it seems. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we have to hold when we're looking at the past. And so I think it can be dangerous when it is that collective, like on upholding of how great the good old days were and a yearning to get back to that, even though there were bad things back there and you're like not acknowledging those things at all.
Yeah. So again, it is a phrase that because it's a small phrase, it lacks nuance. So we're kind of picking it apart here. But I think it's an excellent example of like you were saying, the dangers of nostalgia, but also the fact that nostalgia can be very personal, but we assume that other people can be nostalgic for it. So let's say you meet someone who's in your generation of people and you're like, hey, remember when this was on TV? Okay, I'll give you a better example. Okay, so like watching SpongeBob SquarePants was a really big deal for my generation. I didn't have cable, so I didn't have that shared experience. So when I look at SpongeBob, I don't get nostalgia. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, that's a cartoon character. Mm-hmm. But people will just assume that because I'm part of that generation, that I have that nostalgia for it, that I assume mm-hmm. that it was a happy memory. So that phrase of like, hey, let's get back to where we were, wasn't it all great? is kind of nearsighted because you assume that everyone has had the same experience that you have. So, yeah, so there you go.
Hey, here comes your husband.
Oh, yeah. Hang on. Oh. He says he's not interrupting. Oh, that's so sweet. Oh. Hang on, let me text him real quick. Yeah, I was like, who's that guy with the long hair coming up? I was like, oh yeah, that's my husband.
Oh yeah, because I saw his face first.
Yeah. So yeah, that can be the danger of putting your personal nostalgia on everyone else's, mm-hmm. assuming that everyone else has the same nostalgia that you do. Mm-hmm.
It's also, I think, impossible to be objective. Well, okay, let me put it this way. Now I'm like a full grown adult. Mm-hmm. And so when I am remembering things, am I taking my full grown developed brain back into a situation where I didn't have a full grown adult brain? So just like you with the mozzarella cheese, mm-hmm. like physically you couldn't even reach the counter.
Yeah.
And so there are some aspects of those memories that we can't be objective about when we're looking back at them, because it's impossible for me to like put myself back in my kid brain. So sometimes I wonder, like, when I'm remembering things, I'm viewing it from my adult brain with all the experience that I have. Mm-hmm. And so I can't have a true recollection of like that kid brain experience.
So instead of just saying that like, oh, it's rose colored glasses, you were a kid, you know, and you have forgotten a lot of the pain that maybe mm-hmm. went along with those circumstances, you're saying that with your, like,
is it possible? Okay, so let's just say that I think that the 80s were the best time ever to be alive.
Sure.
Well, yeah, because I didn't have to do anything. Because I was a kid and someone was taking care of me all the time. And so how do I know the struggles that existed then? Because I didn't see them because I was really protected as a kid being taken care of. Do you see what I'm saying?
So just because you were a child, you did not have the faculties that you needed in order to understand all of the not so great things that were happening.
Right.
But I mean, people can also have nostalgia for times where they were adults. There's a lot of, you know,
but I guess I'm thinking of course, but if we're looking at the good old days, a lot of times that is for when I think that the good old days seem good, because we're able to either have selective memory about them mm-hmm. or because we weren't aware of the full impact of those days mm-hmm. or, and so now seems harder because either we're more aware or we're looking beyond ourselves and seeing pain in other people. Mm-hmm.
You're living fully present in this mm-hmm. moment mm-hmm. where you can go back to a memory and you can just be there, but you don't have to live the memory before or after mm-hmm. where it's like, well, yeah, I was a kid and people were taking care of me, but I also remember the social pain of having to go to high school, and that was terrible.
Yeah, I think I can look back at my high school time retrospectively mm-hmm. with some nuance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, oh, okay, I wasn't the only one feeling left out.
Yeah.
You know, so it is possible. Like,
not everyone else was having a good time.
Right. I think it is possible to look back on the past with retrospect. However, I think it gets more difficult when we're talking about the collective nostalgia. I think it's easier for a group to look back with only the good. And when we start, when we try to start showing the group some
nuance,
retrospective perspective, there's pushback and people are like, don't mess up my good old days.
Or it'll go in the direction of, well, in my day, it took this long to be able to do this. And you kind of have that stereotypical grandpa being like, I had to walk up the hill.
Yeah. Quit
to
complaining.
School both day. Yeah. That kind of thing. So even some shared, if you want to call it nostalgia, cause it's not really a longing for those days, but they do have some collective you know, recollecting of things that were not good. Yeah. But that's not what you want to talk about. No. You want to talk about the good stuff that happened or like the cool things that happened back in the day. Okay. Well, let me throw a little extra wrench into this conversation.
Okay.
So I went and looked up, there was a study done on nostalgia and creativity.
Hey-o, I might have some of this
too. You might have found it too. Okay. So, it said that creativity of an individual can be affected by emotions, memories, and associations with the past. And this study examines the effect of nostalgia on divergent thinking of the divergent thinking component of creativity. Because creativity is the creation of the formation of a novel or original or high quality idea. So we're expanding creativity beyond what you think about, like, you know, art or new. Quote something new, if you want to call it that, something novel, something original. They said that nostalgia actually increased this formation of novel, original, or high quality ideas, mm-hmm. which seems backwards because when you think about nostalgia, you're thinking about old things, things from the past, and yet it was helpful in coming up with these new concepts or these new ideas. So what do you think about that?
Well, first of all, I know this is not what it's about, but I want to dispel I think it's a myth that creativity has to come up with something novel for it to count as creativity. That's something we're always fighting here.
Novel in the sense that like
brand new, never been done before. I think that that's part of innovation.
Oh, I guess when I think novel, I think of something that's just kind of like interesting, a novelty. It's it fascinates the mind is what I think of when I think of the word novel, not necessarily new.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now I forgot because I was transfixed on that. That nostalgia, yes, I found a study that this person's been studying nostalgia for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking, it was an article in the Harvard Business Review that was talking about the impact of nostalgia at work and how it can make people feel more connected to each other, and it can decrease turnover. Mm. If people feel nostalgia for their workplace, then they're more likely to want to stay there because it gives them good feelings about where they work.
Well, yeah. Because that's just kind of the nature of nostalgia. It's a desire to return to a place. So if you have a longing desire to return to a place, here's the thing though. How can you have nostalgia for your work if it's not past? You're always working. Like you're working there. You can't miss it until it's gone.
Without putting words in their mouth and without having to go like build, you mm-hmm. know, read through this all over again.
Yeah.
I would say that what they're emphasizing is that if a workplace can create experiences among your employees that gives them connection to each other,
mm-hmm.
then they're going to be less likely to want to leap to like look elsewhere. They're gonna find fulfillment beyond their productivity and their work.
Yes.
And so you're invoking good memories for them about mm-hmm. their time at their place of work.
Mm, I see now. Okay.
Okay. So what they said about creativity, hang on, let me get there.
Mm-hmm.
Was that this article was like really long.
She's flipping through pages right now.
Okay. So they looked at three studies and they found that individuals who spent several minutes writing a nostalgic memory,
mm-hmm.
Made them feel more open-minded and creative. And critically, it made them produce more creative content. So they had independent evaluators looking at the content that someone was creating before they went through this nostalgic practice and after.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that outside evaluator that was saying this was more creative. And so they kind of boiled it down into that nostalgia makes people feel more inspired.
No, I agree, because I think you can, now that we have the internet, we have this sort of like very granular hit like log of people who have now gone into the more creative arts and who are creating content. They talk about, oh, well, I got into animation because, you know, I watched this mm-hmm. as a kid, or, oh, I started designing this because, you know, I was really into this as a kid. And we can go back and look at those references and then see their influences on their creative works, but not enough that I would say it's like, it's not like a copycat. Like one interesting thing that happened to me was I was trying to, in the process of trying to figure out some coloring pages for Make Do, I found a guy who worked on an old like set of YouTube videos that I really, really loved as a kid. But now he works for Disney Animation making a TV show about magic. Well, yeah, those original videos he made on YouTube did contain magic, and maybe that's what inspired him. But I think perhaps the claim could be made that the nostalgia of, you know, him being really interested in Harry Potter inspired him to create more content that is similar but different. So I could totally see how nostalgia helps to inspire creativity without necessarily creating copycats.
So this says, a workplace that encourages employees to both share nostalgic memories and make new ones primes the pump of creativity. So I think it's the combination of like looking back mm-hmm. and seeing inspiration, but you know, your assignment that's laid out in front of you is now make something new.
Yes.
Not now make a reproduction of mm-hmm. that thing.
Oh man. I'm thinking about, like behind the scenes at Pixar, they had like a whole cereal wall of just various children's breakfast cereals. Mm. And one of the most potent forms of memory is the olfactory system, taste, and specifically smell. And so in the study that I found, they introduced an olfactory component into their research. Mm. So if you can like walk into a place and it smells like a memory, that is what is helpful into being inspiring into making those novel, original, or high quality ideas. So yeah, that totally makes sense.
Yeah. What I think is cool about it, and this is something that we have at least alluded to, if not talked about outright, I think creativity provides us a thread to the past. Like, it connects us to other generations. So
yes.
If we are talking about quilts that your grandma made or recipes that you had that belonged to someone in your history, or I had someone who taught a knitting class for a while, and no one in her family knew how to knit, but she said her genealogy comes from Nordic, you know, mm-hmm. Norway or Finland or Sweden or kind of that yeah. area, and that they are a culture of knitters.
Yes.
And she said that when she learned to knit, she just felt this connection to her heritage. And that is like a phantom connection yeah. almost,
because
it's not like it reminded her specifically of my yeah. grandma used to sit and knit. And so I think that the creative practice and process both are ways that we are continuing the work of the past.
Yeah, it's a way to look back at the past. I mean, how we experience nostalgia is when we pick up an old toy or when we make some soup that our mom used to make for us. Those experiences that then transport us back to that place of origin. So if we want to take that looser definition, then I mean, that would be a long stretch of time, but there could be a nostalgia of like, it's this thread that reaches all the way back hundreds of years back to, you know, Nordic peoples who knitted. And that's why that person felt so connected. I mean, that's why I love vintage fashion, is it provides me a thread back to my ancestors, back to the, you know, few generations before me. And it allows me to continue that thread into the now. It's like kind of like a form of time travel almost. Hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I mean, we can't do that. That, I guess, that is the bittersweet part of nostalgia, is knowing that we cannot go back to the past. We cannot, you know, return and relive these things, but there are these small little fragments that we can revisit to kind of get that little hint of what the past might have been like.
And I don't think that it always is nostalgia either. Because I don't think that every time, at least what I'm talking about the opportunity that creativity, the way that it connects generations mm-hmm. together, it doesn't have to be a looking back and a yearning for a time when we all wore knitted sweaters. It's just a, hey, this is something that's connecting me to that.
Oh, and that's what I'm saying is it's not like if we took a looser definition, if we take out the part that's like maybe the yearning, but more of like the, well, I mean, maybe there is a desire for connectedness.
But I think that nostalgia has to be a little bit bigger than just connectedness for it to count as nostalgia.
No, you have to have emotions
I think that connectedness is part of nostalgia. Mm-hmm. But I think you can have connectedness without having nostalgia.
For sure you can. Yeah. I think nostalgia is very much a emotion-driven thing.
Yeah. Which that brings me to kind of the last point that I wanted to make is that I think that nostalgia can be really low hanging fruit to get people to like something.
Sure.
I think if it's kind of the lowest common denominator for making people say that something is good without it actually having to be good.
Do you have an example?
No, I was trying to think of one, but I think that we see it like this in, you know, Hollywood movies and music and that sort of stuff all the time. So I haven't seen it, but George Clooney and Julia Roberts have a new movie that's out.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen it because it doesn't look good. But then if you'll hear people be like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to see that. Why? Just because Julia Roberts and George Clooney are in it together and you have nostalgia for them. And so it doesn't even have to be good because you want to see them.
So like maybe people have nostalgia of were they in a good movie together?
I mean, they're in the Oceans movie, but she's barely in that.
Yeah.
But it could even be them separately. Like it doesn't necessarily have to be them together. I think Julia Roberts holds a really heavy nostalgia for people. I think people are like, I love Julia Roberts. What? Why? Like, what is she a good actress? I'm not trying to pick on Julia Roberts. I also love her.
Yeah.
But when I look back through all the movies that she's made, I'm like, oh.
You remember that maybe you weren't too big of a fan of those movies?
Or that, sure, I enjoyed Runaway Bride.
Mm-hmm.
If I watched it now, would I think, oh, this movie's fantastic?
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
She was just America's sweetheart for a while.
And that it's more of a reference to that time rather than the movies she was actually in or her
own. So maybe that is a kinder way. That's what I'm really trying to say. Like, she was America's sweetheart. She was in all of this stuff that we have fond memories of, but.
But it's not. But here's the thing. It's not really fond memories of the thing. It's that time and place, like going back to the definition, it's a longing for a period of time.
I think she's in this movie with Catherine Zeta-Jones called America's Sweetheart. And that's they kind of talk about this whole idea.
Yeah.
Like you have public favor.
Okay. So what you mentioned about nostalgia being low hanging fruit, like the Hard Rock Cafe.
Yeah.
Capitalizes on that. Poor Marilyn Monroe and Elvis Presley have been symbols of nostalgia for decades to the point where it's not truly like true, pure nostalgia for people.
Well,
anymore.
And now they are just a caricature.
They are icons.
Right. They're a character. They're no longer the person.
Yeah.
Marilyn Monroe. She's like a character.
Yeah.
In our story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that probably some superhero movies play on nostalgia, or people get really upset if something isn't right.
Because nostalgia has colored it for them. Okay, yeah. I have an excellent example for this. I'm rewatching the Star Wars movies with Richard.
Okay.
He watched the first three, yeah, in chronological order. So 1, 2, and 3.
Oh.
And then we just finished watching 4, 5, and 6. And I have to stop myself from being mean about the movies because I'm like,
just all of them?
Because I don't understand the lore. Like, I'm like, okay, so...
You didn't watch them as a kid?
No.
Okay.
I did not watch them as a kid. So I'm like, what do you mean he didn't know his wife was having twins? He's strong with the Force. Like, he didn't feel like the presence of two Force babies. Like, it didn't make sense to me or, like, all of these things. And I was like... I mean, I understand that they're entertaining movies, but there is no love of nostalgia for me there. So when the last three movies came out, what is it, 7, 8, and 9?
Yeah,
I was like...
I haven't seen any of those.
I was like... I mean, they were enjoyable as movies, but I don't have that extra, like, hit of nostalgia to be like, yeah, these were good.
So, see, I think if something is only playing on nostalgia, then that's where it can be. It has to stand on its own.
Well, that's the thing.
And
this
nostalgia
truly
has
being
to just
creative
be
if it's just a rehash of whatever people wanted. They're like, okay, this is just pure nostalgia. We're going to give you the same thing. You know, here's your Dunkaroo. Here's your Slurpee. Take it. And it just feels very out of context. It's not made into something new, because good nostalgia and creativity allows you to be inspired by something and take it further, combine it with other things, put it in a new format. Whereas just pure nostalgia is, you like the thing, here's the thing.
Right. That's what I was going to say, that is the low-hanging fruit of you don't have to make it good because you're just making it nostalgic.
It's just a reproduction.
Right. So I think the test is, can you use nostalgia combined with it actually stand on its own? Like, yes, it's actually good on its own outside of this.
Yeah. Well, and I think that is the pitfall of the larger societal nostalgia, the like, oh, let's make sure that things go back to the way they were. No, we don't want things exactly the way they were. You know, a lot of people in the historical costuming community get that question. Well, do you want to be like it was in the 50s because you dress like it? Absolutely not. I don't want a reproduction of the 1950s today. I just want to take pieces of that and then incorporate it into what's already here. And it becomes something new and different within this context.
See, I think that was the pushback that I was giving you earlier about you having your style. I've never seen that as you being nostalgic for the 50s.
I mean, I would say that there is longing within me for like a time when clothing wasn't so fast fashion, when
right, but that we can make that happen now.
We can. Sure. I mean, I could go and get a Slurpee right now. But I can still be nostalgic for it.
And that was happening long before and a little bit after the 50s too. So I guess that's what is making it difficult for me back when we were talking about Gen Z and the 90s, and is how does nostalgia actually play into that versus like what you just said? No, I don't want to go live in the 50s. Sure, there might be things.
Now, but I would say nostalgia? There are some Gen Z people who say they would like to go and live back in the 90s. And the difference I would say there is that the 90s are a little bit more progressive than the 50s are. So it doesn't seem like that backward.
They don't realize that they wouldn't have the internet.
Yes, I agree. And I think to some extent they know that. But I would say there are some influencers who are like, or some teenagers who are like, man, I just wish I could live in the 90s and have all of the accoutrement of the 90s, but they don't realize truly what they're asking for.
Also, they don't realize, hey, you would still have homework. It doesn't give you an escape from the things that you don't like now.
Well, sometimes I think people would say that they do. Oh, if I, you know, I wouldn't have to deal with, you know, Instagram drama if I went back. But it,
right. You'd have other drama. Right.
The problems are always there. The monkey's paw, if you will. So, yeah.
Okay, so what next?
Okay, so nostalgia is a funny thing. It comes with some greater pitfalls, but it can also be really good for inspiring new creativity. So how do we kind of navigate that a little bit? If we want to improve our creativity, how do we use nostalgia for our benefit?
Do you think, if you had to give a rating to nostalgia, mm-hmm. would you say it is mostly positive, mostly negative, or neutral?
Ooh. I would say slightly more positive than neutral. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it's totally 100% positive.
Yeah.
Because there are some pitfalls, like we mentioned earlier. There's also the kind of, you know, that disappointing feeling when you're like, I'm going to show this person this awesome thing, but you don't realize you have it covered in nostalgia lenses. And people watch it and they're like.
Like when I showed you while you were sleeping.
Oh, or the time I watched Seven Wives for Seven Brothers. Oh. Holy cow. I was like, you know, in the disappointment of like, oh, they don't share that same mm-hmm. thing with me. So that's also part mm-hmm. of like the negative piece. But like, there's been a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of good things to be taken from nostalgia as well. Those warm feelings of returning home. It is kind of a little bit like a time machine, being able to go back in the past and pick those up. And I mean, the reality is the act of watching Grease for me, while it was a study in nostalgia, became the act of watching it became nostalgia for me, to the point that it has now inspired my physical aesthetic. Mm. So like, yeah, I think that part was good because it allowed me to get into something that I love. So yeah, like yeah. slightly.
Okay. I just wanted to see, like, before we get into
like a
tips,
net positive,
right? Kind of where you, how you were sitting with nostalgia.
Yeah. I mean, how do you sit with it?
I think personally, I don't have any negative association with nostalgia. Mm. I do think I see the dangers of it collectively.
Mm. Indeed.
In culture. Indeed. So I think a lot of our problems right now are because of nostalgia and looking back at in rose-colored glasses at history. Mm-hmm. Not just recent history either. Like, decades and centuries of history.
Exactly.
Okay, so these tips then that we're going to share will be how to kind of pull nostalgia, if it is negative or neutral, into a more positive balance, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So I like what you said earlier about being able to go back with your adult brain and make a more nuanced, take a more nuanced inventory of the thing that is nostalgia mm-hmm. for you. So like for Richard, it was the Star Wars movies. He, when we've had conversations about it, he's like, yeah, like the stories are sometimes convoluted. And he's able to have that conversation with me, but also hold at the same time that that was part of his childhood and he played with the toys. So he's mm-hmm. like, I love the Star Wars movies. I also recognize they were weird and didn't make sense mm-hmm. sometimes.
I think when you are having those conversations with someone as the person who doesn't have the nostalgia for it, you have a responsibility as well to enter those discussions in good faith.
Ooh,
and like
yes.
not just attack something
yes.
that doesn't hold up now.
Yes, I totally agree. Because nostalgia is so tied to emotions, this isn't just about like facts and being like, well, that's, you know, that's dumb. This movie wasn't woke. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. You are not, because some person has taken that upon, like, it's kind of part of their identity, you have to be delicate mm-hmm. with it and be like, it's not my favorite movie and there are some glaring issues with it. But what I do recognize is that you had a really good time watching it as a kid. So I will then try to put on some of your nostalgia glasses and try to see it through there. Mm-hmm. So I think that's part of the good part of nostalgia, of like, I'm watching this with Richard, knowing that he watched this as a kid. So it kind of allows me to transport back to when he was a kid and get to like think about what would have been like.
Right. Because you're trying to look at it through a little kid's eyes versus someone, like we said before, is it possible for me to go back with my kid brain? Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you kind of have to suspend that in yourself mm-hmm. to see the enjoyment that he gets from it.
Yeah. There's mm-hmm. definitely been a few times where I've seen something and I'm like, this was terrible. I don't know why you like this. Or like, I cannot believe this. And I had to catch myself and be like, whoa, specifically like with Seven Brides for Seven mm-hmm. Brothers. It was a product of its time. Mm-hmm. And you have to be able to hold that, like, this was just good fun for people. And then you have to find, like, once you get that out of the way, you might be able to find the good. Like the fact that it's a movie whose main character is a woman. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like shocking that how like female focused this movie was, despite the fact that they
stole them,
that they kidnapped
yeah.
a bunch of girls. So yeah, I mean, if I didn't have those nostalgia glasses to pick up from somebody else, then I just would have been like, why would I ever watch
Seven
this?
Brides for Seven Brothers at my grandma's house. So I have nostalgia for it.
Oh,
I mean, I saw the glaring problems, but also yeah.
the dancing's cool. Yeah. The singing is cool. Yeah. Like all of that. Very nice.
And the women are tough.
The yeah. women are freaking. Also, yeah. the 1950s inspired quilt skirts. I think I'm gonna need one of those. Mm-hmm. Like full, like long. Yeah. Long quilt skirts. Totally into that.
Okay. Anyways. One of my tips yeah. is similar to yours. Well, now you talk. We talked through it so much. Yeah. I don't remember exactly how you said, but I think you just have to be honest about the difficulty.
Yes.
And don't just say, oh, this was all good. So kind of Billy Joel, the good old days weren't always good. Tomorrow's yes. not as bad as it seems. You have to be able to maintain that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Another way to try and utilize nostalgia for your benefit is truly trying to figure out what was good about, like, what has made this particular thing stick with people. Why are people nostalgia about this particular thing? Was it the feeling? Was it actually something good about the creative piece or the whatever object we're talking about? Like if you've ever gone back and like, oh man, you know what I could really use right now? A bowl of Lucky Charms. And then you eat it and you're like, oh no, this isn't what I wanted. Mm-hmm. What you wanted was the feeling of being a kid. So if you're able to decipher that, then you can go after that instead of always just trying to eat a bowl of Lucky Charms and being disappointed, being like, okay, what I want to feel like is the feeling that I felt when I was a kid eating Lucky Charms, watching Saturday morning cartoons. How do I as an adult then go after that feeling? Okay, was it the feeling of I had nothing to do? Okay, and I could choose whatever I wanted to do? Okay, how can I pursue that now in a new way? So like, trying to go like I would suggest to you going through that line of thinking, finding what is good and then figuring out a new way to pursue that, because the old way may not work. Eating Lucky Charms may not work for you anymore.
Well, or you realize that Lucky Charms are just not that good.
Well, no, that's the thing is yeah. that it wasn't really about the Lucky Charms because mm-hmm. they weren't that good. It was about having a Saturday morning where you could do whatever you wanted.
Yeah.
So
sometimes it is about the look. Like, I don't know. Sometimes it could be about the thing.
It yeah. could truly be like, yeah. man, I need the taste of Lucky Charms. And all you have to do to satisfy that is get yourself a box.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
I think we have to find ways to keep the nostalgia connected to the present so that we're not just turned around always looking in the past. I think you just touched on mm-hmm. part of that. I think the conversation we had about creativity and using the past as a way to inspire your present. The study that I found was talking about how those nostalgic memories can make people feel a sense of meaning and purpose. And so infusing that into the present mm-hmm. is what gives nostalgia value.
I agree totally with that. And to go along with that, recognize that nostalgia has a usefulness for connecting you to other people.
That was my last one too.
Yes. So whether it's, you know, watching that Star Wars movie with Richard or building those nostalgic memories with coworkers at work, maybe it's with your audience. You're trying to sell a product or you're trying to appeal to people. Recognize that nostalgia has a connectedness, but use it in conjunction with our previous tips. Find out what is actually good and use that part. Don't try to use just the aesthetics or like the surface of nostalgia to try and get people to like a thing, because they won't.
Mm-hmm.
Most people can see through that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mine was to let nostalgia be a catalyst for connection mm-hmm. and understanding someone. So, you know, in our teen class, they're obsessed with things that are from the 90s. Well, hey, I was a child of the 90s.
Yeah.
So like now we can, hey, you want Doc Martens? Let me tell you about my first pair.
Yeah.
It can be a way that lets them connect to me when we don't have other things in common. Mm-hmm. Like the nostalgia can be what our common experience.
That's
and
true.
And then we can use it to create connection in the present.
And see, the opposite of that, nostalgia can also be used to create division. And so you want to avoid that mm-hmm. where it's like, well, things were done this way in my day and it mm-hmm. was better that way.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily.
Or like you, having not seen SpongeBob,
yeah,
can feel on the outside of a conversation that is all SpongeBob nostalgia.
Yeah. Which you can all look, you can always invite people into a conversation mm-hmm. where they know very little about mm-hmm. by, yeah, just try to include people. Anyways, the last thing is take what it, like the big generalization, distilling all of this down, take what is useful from nostalgia, but freaking leave the rest. Mm-hmm. You don't need to take nostalgia wholesale to like something. Just like, you know, I take what I want from fashion and from the 1950s fashion and I leave the attitudes behind. You don't have to.
You can own a credit card and buy a house, Madison.
This is true. Yeah. So you don't, in order to feel nostalgia, you don't have to take the thing wholesale. You can just, you can take like little pieces of it and still be able to have that connectedness back to a feeling or place. Mm-hmm. All right.
My sweet this week.
Yes.
Is that we have a snow day. I'm always nervous that we'll go through the winter and not have any winter weather.
Mm-hmm.
It was just ice. It wasn't like, I hope we get another one, like yeah. a better one, but mm-hmm. it was fine. That was my sweet.
Okay. My sweet is that I'm going to AnimeCon tomorrow.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
I'm so excited. It'll just be nice to go and be part of a tribe of nerds mm-hmm. for a few hours and walk around. And
there will be some awesome. Nostalgia there.
Oh, 100%. Nostalgia is a big part of nerd culture. That's why I felt strongly about this topic.
My sour... my attitude. I'm just going to say. Yeah, that's my sour.
I feel that. I feel that. My sour is I still haven't figured out a secure way to get my props onto my boots. So I have weapons attached mm-hmm. to my boots. And
by props, she means guns, but she had to come up with a different word because she kept saying, my guns, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, Madison, you have to, every time you talk about your guns, I yeah. just...
I need to hold up my arms and like kiss my biceps. No. But yeah, so I have to figure out how to do that today and hopefully it'll work. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what are you learning?
I'm learning, I do know. I'm learning like about some time management and systems
yeah.
stuff. So it is a lot. Now what I will keep and implement will only time will tell, but that's what I've been learning.
Gotcha. I have been learning how to use these moldable plastic pellets. They look like little like plastic grains of rice. You put them in boiling water and then you pull them out with tongs and it becomes a moldable plastic. And then you can shape it however you want. And in 10 minutes it dries to a hard plastic.
Ooh.
Great for costuming, but also good for household repairs. Or like if you need a plastic yeah. handle for something, you can just mold stuff around it and be like, boom, got a handle. And it's very cheap and very easy to use.
Fantastic. So, yeah. That's awesome. All right, y'all. Well, we're cutting this. We're ending it now because I have a meeting in 6 minutes.
Okay.
So bye.
Bye.
Thank you to my dear, dear friend Craig Hudson for our very createful theme music. You can hear more of Craig's music on Spotify under Craig Hudson. That's Hudson with a T. Or you can just click on the link in the show notes. Also, be sure to connect with Make Do on Instagram at Make Do Create or on Facebook at Make Do Cersei. And visit our website, makedocreate.org, for upcoming classes, show notes, to order a face mask, lots of things.